Yo, yo, what's happening? It's the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. Got a poll question for you today at CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb on Twitter. Make sure you go follow both those accounts, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B or at CBS Sports Radio. And the poll question is about the NFC West. Who's going to win the NFC West this upcoming year? All those teams are 2-2 after the first four games. Leading the way right now, 57.4%, the San Francisco 49ers. I know they just had a big win up against the Rams, but I'm surprised it's at 57.4%. Rams at second place at 29.5%. The Seahawks, still in third place, barely at 7%. And then at 6.2%, the Arizona Cardinals. So we have 15, Hickey, 2-2 teams in the NFL through the first 4 weeks of the season.
Basically half the league.
That's crazy. Give me a little NFL music. We're going to find out which NFL teams that are 2-2 that I actually believe in for the rest of the way.
The New York Jets.
Not a playoff team. Good win for them. Come from behind up against the Steelers last week. Or actually, they were in front. And then the come from behind victory was against the Browns, where the Browns gave the game away in the final 90 seconds when it was a 13-point lead. The Jets have some talent. They're not a playoff team. I'm intrigued by Zach Wilson back at the quarterback position. Garrett Wilson looks like he's going to be a stud. Elijah Moore is a good player. But no, I can't take the Jets as seriously as a playoff team this year. If they finish third in this division this year, then this would be a super successful season. That would kind of be my expectation for the Jet fan this year. Try to finish third. Maybe the Pats have a really down year, and they're the bottom feeder in this AFC East potentially.
The Cleveland Browns.
I don't think I vacillated on a team more from the start of the season to 2 weeks ago and then to what we saw on Sunday. Before the season, I said they won't be able to weather the storm with Jacoby Brissett through the first 11 games. Then they had that performance on Thursday Night Football that makes you think, okay, maybe they can get the job done. It was against the Steelers. You kind of see a common thread here. Trent here, anyone that plays the Steelers, and the Pats look good against the Steelers. The Jets look good against the Steelers. The Browns look good against the Steelers. And then last week, they lose to the Falcons. That Steeler victory misleading. That's the common denominator. Teams look good against the Steelers this year. Yeah, I'm going to say no in the playoffs.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes. Should be a playoff team, and I think they could be a really damn strong contender as long as this offensive line starts to gel. Ja'Marr Chase, stud. T. Higgins, stud. Tyler Boyd, really damn good wide receiver. Joe Burrow, stud. You have a solid defense, a defense that made plays last year in big-time spots, but that line, you're bringing Kappa, you're bringing Karras, you're bringing Collins. They have not gelled yet. Oh, and we always forget Joe Mixon, too. Joe Mixon, put some respect on his name. He's a heck of a football player. I'll say yes, they should make the playoffs because you got to think that line will start to get their damn act together.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. I think I saw something today that the Ravens have only trailed in like less than 20 seconds this year. Isn't that crazy? And they're 2-2. Because you look at the two losses, they're 35-14, lost the game against the Dolphins. And then this last week, they were up 20-3. And then you had 20 unanswered points by Buffalo, and they had that game-winning kick right at the horn against, from Tyler Bass. Yeah, they'll make the playoffs. As long as Lamar Jackson stays healthy, they'll make the playoffs, even though their defense has been a mess.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. Whew.
Here's the actual stat. Let me give you the stat on the Ravens, and then I'll go back to the Jaguars. From Jonas Schaefer, The Ravens have trailed for just 14 seconds of the 120 minutes they've played in Baltimore this season, and yet they're 0-2 at home. That was the tweet that I saw today. Jacksonville, because of the division, they got a shot. I think last week was not a bad performance. Yeah, you're up 14-0. You should win the game. But you're going up against, right now, the best team in the league in the Philadelphia Eagles. They're undefeated. A competent coach. You're seeing better play out of Trevor Lawrence. I still don't think that they should be a playoff team, but because of how bad that division is, it would not surprise me if they win 8 games and then win the AFC South.
The Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. They sent a little reminder last week, hey, we're still here. We got off to a bad start. We blew a 13-0 lead to the Giants. Almost blew a game up against the Raiders. We have Derrick Henry. Tannehill makes you hold your breath. Defense better than what people give him credit for. Vrabel's a good coach. They should win that division. So, yeah.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Here's my one concern about the Chargers. The injury bug. Rashawn Slater, done for the year. Corey Lindsey, banged up on the offensive line. Joey Bosa going to be out, I think, like 2 months, if not more than that. That injury bug is starting to concern me. Keenan Allen in and out of the lineup. As long as that quarterback stays healthy, and I know he's playing with a bunch of rib injuries right now, they should make the playoffs. So I still expect them to make the playoffs.
The Denver Broncos.
Ha! Can you play the big voiceover guy one more time, please?
The Denver Broncos.
Again?
The Denver Broncos.
Again?
The Denver Broncos.
Hickey, what do you think my answer is on this one? Because my take before the year was they're not a playoff team. They will not be in the playoffs. Not that they would be awful, not that they would be a decrepit product, but they won't make the playoffs because Hackett, Russell Wilson, it won't look great to start off with. Adding in a new piece, having a new coach is just too much new things in that organization for it to work this year.
I would say your thought is absolutely this is a playoff team. This is a sleeper Super Bowl team, and everyone is going to see at the end of the year why this team, you should have believed in them earlier.
You have sarcasm on your forehead. You may want to.
I think I'm a good mind reader. I think I was in your brain there perfectly.
Yeah. No. 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 You know what? I'm actually rooting for the Colts on Thursday.
Thursday kind of got you a little bit of a pretzel.
Yeah,
sort of.
I think I may have said that I would like to see the Broncos win, just because then that means that you're miserable. But I want you to get sucked back in, thinking that your football team's actually a decent team because you think the world and you overrate the Broncos. This will be the one time I root for the Colts. And then also it leads up to the Hickey vacuum kind of thing where you get sucked back in. You think you're going to have a chance, then you'll go to that game in week 17. All right, we'll beat the Giants. Then we'll have a meaningful game in week 18, and then you'll lose to the Giants. So I'll take the Colts this week. I like the Colts. I want the Colts to win on Thursday.
You are my short-term happiness, my long-term misery.
Yeah, pretty
Thank
much.
Thank you.
But yeah, I'm not a believer in the Broncos. Wasn't a believer before. Why would I be a believer now? And you know who should be someone that has his feet up right now and licking his chops? Sean Payton.
The Chicago Bears.
No, stop. They don't trust Justin Fields. Justin Fields hasn't been good. Montgomery now out. Herbert's been good. Mooney's their best wide receiver. Like, he's solid but not great. They should not be 2-2. So the answer is no.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, they'll win that division. They'll be a double-digit win team that won that division. Brady will get going. The receivers are going to hopefully get back healthy. Maybe he's already calling up Gronk. Gronk, Giselle's leaving me. I need you to come comfort me. I can't say you call up AB and invite him over the house these days. Do you know where that pool video, by the way, occurred? Did you see where it occurred?
Was it like overseas?
Dubai. I had a buddy text me who used to work in the NFL. And I was asking about something else. And he goes, by the way, I've been to Dubai before. AB needs to get out of Dubai. guy's such an idiot. Did you see the video?
Yes.
He's like very close to a woman and throws the woman.
A few times.
He's already in the water. Looks like he's naked too.
Yeah, I think he puts his butt cheek near her, I believe.
Yeah.
And then later on you see, oh yeah, there's no shorts on. Yeah, your friend's probably right. Don't mess it around overseas. They don't mess around over there. So
100%. And I don't think AB's got a good head on his shoulders. Let's just say that would be saying it politely. So he does a lot of things, and I'm like, what the heck is he doing? You don't pay your hotel bill in Dubai, it won't end well for you, AB, because he doesn't pay a lot of things. Gets services, but don't end up paying for them. But anyway, long story short here. Yeah, Tampa's going to be fine.
The Atlanta Falcons.
It's actually weird. I kind of like the Falcons. Now, Arthur Smith could be obnoxious. Dean Pease could be obnoxious. But I like what I'm seeing from Drake London. I'm a fan of Kyle Pitts. AJ Terrell's a really good player in this league. I like Cordell Patterson, but now he's out. I can't believe in Marcus Mariota. They'll be a team that's going to be scrappy, but they won't win a lot of games. So no, they won't make the playoffs.
Los Angeles Rams.
Bad loss last night, but they should still win the division.
The Arizona Cardinals.
No. I'm not a believer. I know you're getting Hopkins back. But that team, honestly, have they played a good game yet this season? Isn't that crazy that you could be 2-2 and you still haven't played a good game this season? Mahomes throws 5 touchdowns against you. Okay, I could live with that. The Rams beat you. Okay, I could live with that. They had some improbable comeback against the Raiders where they get the game to overtime, and if Renfro just hangs on to the ball, they lose that game. And if you went up against any competent quarterback last weekend, you would have lost that game because your offense was so bad, and it still wasn't the worst offense on the field because of how incompetent Baker Mayfield is as a quarterback in this league. They play the Eagles this week. I know, and Ricky Ricardo has told me this all week long, the Spanish play-by-play voice for the Philadelphia Eagles, that the Eagles struggle in Arizona. How don't you lay the 5 points with the Eagles this week? The Eagles have their damn act together. The Cardinals, they only have their act together for a half, and it's still incomplete at times or inconsistent if they even show up for that second half and they get off to a slow start. I can't trust that team, so I don't think they'll be a playoff team.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Hickey, this is a good one. This actually could be the toughest one because that defense is legit. You have a great offensive player in Deebo Samuel. I still don't trust the quarterback. I'll throw them in the hopper of a team that could be a playoff team, but if they lose either of these next two games to Carolina or Atlanta with the stretch of Kansas City, L.A., then the Chargers, so both L.A. teams, Arizona, the Saints, the Dolphins, and Tampa. Yeah, the Saints not great. Yeah, the Cardinals not great. But that's a tough stretch. It's close. Very close. I'll give them slightly the benefit of the doubt, but that could quickly go away if they lose one of these next two games.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Seahawks! 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 Throw the Skittles!
Yeah, they're not making the playoffs. But I will say, who'd have ever thought, Ryan, that through 4 weeks, Geno Smith would not only be outplaying Russell Wilson, he would lead the NFL in completion percentage. Did you see this one coming?
Not even remotely close.
And not only that, I saw a stat today from CBS Sports that through the first 4 games of any NFL season, Geno Smith has the highest completion percentage in NFL history through 4 games.
Do you know off the top of your head, what is he at? Like 73 or something like that?
I think it was 77.3 Let's see. I can pull this up real quickly. So yeah, 77.3. Would you want to take a goal? You want to know who's in second?
I'm guessing it's, by that laugh, not Drew Brees.
No. Sorry.
Oh, like in the league just this year.
Just this year. Yeah, it's not Drew Brees.
Second place, you're laughing. I will say Mitch Trubisky.
No. Where is Mitchell, by the way, on this list? Let's see. Ooh. Trubisky's 28th.
Ryan Tannehill? I think he's been efficient. He doesn't do much, but I think he's always efficient.
Ryan Tannehill is in the top 10. He's at number 10. By the way, you want to hear why completion percentage could be sometimes like a tad overrated?
Yes.
You want to know who's number 9 and is only 1/10 better than Tannehill in completion percentage?
Jameis Winston.
Patrick Mahomes. Well, come on.
I guess you're right. You're going the opposite
way. Overrated.
Yeah, I would say there's a little bit more than 1/10 of a gap between Ryan Tannehill and Patrick Mahomes.
Now, this guy has stunk so far this year.
Baker Mayfield.
And has no line. Matthew Stafford.
Completion percentage?
Yes. It's a 70.7%.
This means you throw the ball to Cooper Kupp like 95% of the time.
That's true. You have no one else to throw the ball to.
Like, if it's completed.
It's either Cooper Kupp or you're sacked. So, not a lot of
That's
completions.
True. Now, it makes a lot of sense.
Do you think you could guess the top 10 players in completion percentage right now? You have Geno. You have Matthew Stafford.
We have Mahomes at 8 and
Mahomes
Tannehill
at
9.
Tannehill.
Trevor Lawrence.
No. He's at 13.
Interesting. Jalen Hurts.
He's at 8.
So
you are missing
Kirk
3,
Cousins.
4, 5, 6, and 7. No, Kirk Cousins is not in the top 10. Where is Kirk on this list? So he's at 20th.
Josh Allen.
Yes, he's at 6.
Come
on. Not that difficult.
Not that difficult. Lamar Jackson.
No, Lamar is at 15.
Justin Herbert.
Yes, he's at 7. So you got 3 more to go here.
3 more to go.
This should be 2 or layups. Layups.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, 4.
Which is actually kind of surprising. I figured it'd be a little bit lower.
Layup. It's a layup.
Tom Brady.
Yes, 5.
So what number am I missing?
You're missing number 3.
Number 3.
You have Ryan Tannehill. He's the 10th in completion percentage. Mahomes, 9. Hurts, 8. Herbert, 7. Allen, 6. Brady, 5. Rodgers, 4. Leave out 3 because you didn't guess it yet. Stafford, 2. Geno Smith, 1. And by the way, I don't think the Seahawks will be a playoff team this year.
Did I guess Kirk Cousins already?
Yes, you already did.
He was no.
Now,
it's not Dak Prescott, right?
No. Okay. No.
One of those cheapy three quarters of a game.
You have to be on pace for at least 200 passing attempts.
Is it his replacement?
Ooh.
Cooper Rush. Where is he at? I think he's efficient.
Cooper Rush is 27. Great instincts, let me tell you. Hot take, Kiki has great instincts when it comes
Holy
to NFL
smokes.
Completion percentage. Well, it's got to be Cooper Rush. Third best completion percentage in the league. Ryan, Zach Gilp here. It's actually 27.
Third worst almost.
That's a promo. Cut it up.
Holy
That's
cow.
That's a rejoin. Send it to Doug. Come on.
NFC or AFC?
AFC.
Derek Carr.
No. Can I give you a hint?
Sure.
He's the most accurate quarterback maybe of all time according to one NFL wide receiver.
Wow.
Current wide receiver.
Shouldn't probably know that. Bad job by me, Tua. Bad job.
And you're the leader of the Tua now.
I know. Out of sight, out of mind.
Or you're on the advisor board for the Tua. I wouldn't say you're the leader.
No. There are some crazies in there.
You're like the...
I'm just a fan.
The treasurer. I think
you're
like the treasurer.
I'm nowhere near executive board. I'm not in the C-suite. I'm just a member. Just a guy who likes to watch Tua. That's all. Or a defender. Not even a Tua-non member.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, one Seattle Seahawk player is very, very, very confident.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So Aaron Judge, as you know by now, hit his 62nd home run. He is now the all-time AL home run king. And I'm sure that's a controversial statement by me saying it because there's probably some old guy out there saying, the most home runs ever because Barry Bonds is a cheater. Come on. It's in the record books. I don't know what you want me to do there. So when the 61st home run was hit, there, what was it, a bullpen catcher got it, right?
The bullpen coach of the Blue Jays was the one who eventually got it. Yes, he's a coach.
And his wife is Sarah Walsh, right?
Yes, of the NFL Network.
Mm-hmm. There is another media person whose husband caught this baseball. Now, the game is in Texas. And there's a video I see of a Ranger security guard walking this guy away. His name is Corey. Do you have any idea how to say this last name, Ryan? The last name?
Youmans. I'm going to guess Youmans.
Yeah, I don't think it was
Youmans. Youmans?
I don't know. I looked at it too and I go, oh, Youmans, right?
Corey Youmans. Let's go with Corey Youmans.
Youmans? Youmans?
Well, he's the man now to catch this puppy.
Who the man? You the man? Yeah. I'm literally Youmans. I don't know. I could see if you're like, it's not Youmanas or Youmanas. Who knows? Regardless, though, his wife has quote tweeted and said, this is my husband, and I have no clue to say her name either. Bree Amaranthus. I'm going to take a guess there. Like, we sound like Jack Stern right now trying to say names. Bree Amaranthus? That's probably what it is. She is a Dallas Cowboys and Mavericks reporter. She's won an Emmy, according to her Twitter page, and she's also, I guess, an alumnus of The Bachelor. So how about that? How do you think you pronounce this gal's last name?
I think you got it. Amaranthus? That sounds about right.
Okay. Don't want to be like Jack Stern and say Ark Manning. Did you hear that update this weekend?
What?
Oh, you didn't hear this?
No.
I heard it this morning on the DA show. Jack's doing an update. And you know how Dak has called, I just messed it up there. I have a friend named Dak. You know how Jack has called, who was it? It was Kurt Herbstreit. And you know how he calls DA? I know his real name is Damon, but no one calls him Damon. He calls him Damon, and he would not say Miraz or Mirash. It was just Raz. So he's like a problem with names.
He calls him Raz?
Oh, yeah. He calls him Raz. Yeah, pay attention to the network, okay? Yeah, listen. Yeah, listen a little bit more.
My brain hurts trying to process that. Okay.
So he's had a few problems in saying the names correctly. So I heard this audio today on the DA show where he's doing an update this morning, or it was over the weekend. And I guess Arch Manning broke Peyton and Eli's or one of them's like high school record or something for most passing yards or passing touchdowns in a season, whatever it was.
Okay, makes sense.
Personally, like I don't care, even though Arch Manning is a huge, huge, huge player in college football next year and he's going to Texas. I don't care about the stats of Arch Manning in high school. I think the obsession a little bit of and talking about high school athletes to me has always been bizarre. So whatever it is. But he goes, and Ark Manning broke his uncle's record. Never told you which uncle it was. Maybe it was both. I don't know. And then, like, the music fades up. But it was Ark Manning. Now, DA brought up a great point. Because I thought, okay, you got to know who Arch Manning is. And I just thought, okay, the update anchors, they write out these scripts. I don't know if he's handwriting his script. I don't know the process of that, but maybe he just couldn't read his handwriting and then new update anchor. Now, I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's Arch Manning. Archie Manning. Like the father of quarterbacks is what he's named after. So to then say Ark Manning, and DA goes, what did he think Archie Manning was? Archie Manning. When I heard that this morning, and DA said that, I was drinking some water, and I literally almost spat out my water. I was drinking water and eating a protein bar in the morning, and I almost choked from Archie Manning.
I have always appreciated Eli Manning's, great playoff performances in the Super Bowl.
Now, I can't say it because I say Peyton Manning as Peyton Manning. I just can't enunciate that T. But then what would it be for the sheriff then? What would your made-up name be there?
Peyton?
Peyton.
And congrats to Peyton Manning, yes, who is going into the Hall of Fame this weekend.
Whose nephew is Ark Manning.
Who built Noah's Ark.
Jack Stern thinks
he's a nephew of Noah.
Jack Stern thinks Ark Manning's going to Texas. He's going to bring like two Longhorns and say, okay, let's board the ship here at Texas, Sark. He probably calls Sark Suck or something like that. But yeah.
Ark and Sark, that goes well. Yeah. That'd be a good Heisman slogan right there.
And then there was some other in the Tulane game, he mispronounced the name of someone as well. So it was a rough update for Jack. Feel bad for him. But anyway, this girl, or excuse me, reporter for the Cowboys and the Mavericks, her husband was the one that caught the Aaron Judge 62.
Corey Humans is our guess.
Yeah, well, that's the husband.
Yes.
Do we have any information about what he does?
This is according to Darren Revelle.
Reliable source on this matter. Very reliable.
He claims Corey Humans is the vice president of Fisher Investments.
Oh, so he's wealthy. He don't need the money.
They manage Fisher Investments, not Corey, but the firm manages.
Rich. What is that, Hedron?
Yes, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Investment firm. They manage $197 billion worldwide. And he is the vice president. So
this guy could actually keep the ball.
He could keep the ball.
He don't need the money.
Now, according to also Darren Revelle, there is Memory Lane Inc. They have already put this on the record before the home run is even hit. Whoever catches it, they are offering right now $2
million. Whoa!
Right for the ball.
And who is that?
That's offering? Memory Lane. It's like a memorabilia company.
Memorabilia.
They have
so
put
if they're
the offer
offering
out.
$2 million,
boom.
How much does it say that they think they could sell it for? If you're willing to pay $2 million, you got to at least try to double that. But who in the heck would pay $2 million for that baseball?
Who would pay? If you're paying two, you're expecting double?
Yeah, I would. Right? Bare minimum, I think you're expecting four.
Who's
back.
Paying four or five mil for 62? It's not 700 or
a rich guy.
74.
A rich guy. Like Steve Cohen, who spent $160,000 on Picasso painting or statue. $160 million.
I'm trying to see what me... I looked at it before, what the potential resale could be. It's some big numbers.
Yeah, it's got to
like
be.
Tens of millions.
Well, wasn't the 60th home run ball, because remember it was a college kid that just gave it back for nothing, and they were saying that ball could have been worth anywhere. It was Revelle, but it was 50,000 to like 500,000. Big range. Huge range.
Can't be wrong there. Anywhere from 50 to 500K.
Isn't that funny? 60 was caught by some college student. 61 by the bullpen coach or whatever it was, and then 62 some hedge fund, vice president of a hedge fund company.
I wonder what he paid for that seat.
Man, that really went the wrong direction.
Right.
After 60. You would have thought, like, I would have loved if it was some single mother that ended up catching this baseball, or a single father that has, like, five kids and, you know, could really help him out or something like that. This guy don't need the money. Now, hey, he caught it. You know, what can we do about it? But it is what it is.
I wonder what he paid for to sit there. Because, you know, like, that's a left field.
It's a Rangers game. And his wife is in the media? Probably nothing. But you have... So...
This place is sold out today.
Was it really?
Yeah. There's a big crowd.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's a draw.
But still, I mean, you're also on the road for a record
that... Shows that there's more national attention than what we think. Because a lot of people are bitching about Judge. If they have a sellout for this game for a team that's 66-94.
Say, I was there. So maybe the ticket to sit in, like, I think it was in the first row, too. So he was prime time, first row, left field, brought the glove.
Oh, he brought the glove?
Brought the glove.
Oh, so he was looking to catch the ball.
Oh, yeah. He was there for one reason.
That greedy bastard.
Credit to him. He got the reason. Yeah, I guess probably one. Yeah, maybe not that much. Would you? He also. I found this interesting. He walked out of there unscathed. Are you surprised by that?
No, he's a pretty big dude.
I mean, everyone in that section is there for one reason.
Yeah, I get it.
That's a bare minimum.
What do you think? You're gonna die trying to get the baseball?
Bare minimum, $2 million ball in his hand. I figure that'd be a little more wrestling. Someone jumping over the top.
I saw the home run during one of the breaks, but I did not see the toppling? Was there like
no?
A pile
there's
up?
No dog pile. He literally caught the ball standing up. No one did anything.
And then all the security. I saw the security walking him out.
Yes.
Oh, how about that?
So, but it's kind of like that's what I'm saying. Like it's kind of
you know what? Shame on our company for not sending us to Texas to do the to do a remote from left field. How fun would that have been? Here comes the pitch. Oh, here it comes. We throw off the headsets. I got it. And we try to fight the guy for the ball. That's what we should have done. Yeah, there's no.
Then could have retired.
Yeah.
give the Fisher Investments guy the ball and say, invest this for me.
I think I still would go to work. I would sell the baseball. I'd still work. I still want to do something. And I still, you know, this is a fun job.
You know, maybe, no, not saying it's not.
Maybe we have to rearrange the program schedule a little bit.
Give yourself the primetime hours.
Or no, not even that. Just only have us do a two-hour show. And I'll do 6 to 8 every night.
Hey, when you're not bad. This has the perks. We should have been there.
Be Zach Gelb from 6 to 8, and then Hickey, I'm sure you'll be okay with going 8 to 10. That's what we'll do. All right, when we come on back, we're going to play you some audio from Will Dissly of the Seattle Seahawks. Very, very, very optimistic on this Seahawks season. Lions fans, not so much after an encounter that he had with the Lions fan over the weekend. We'll do the closing bell.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So I had Will Dissly from the Seahawks on Ion Football this past weekend after the Seahawks beat the Detroit Lions. You can listen to Ion Football each and every Sunday in the NFL regular season for 8 hours starting at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And this is what Will Dissly had to say when I asked if the team has been motivated pretty much by everyone counting him out, thinking that Geno Smith is just a stopgap quarterback and that Pete Carroll is really starting to lose something as an NFL head coach. It's so important when you guys are on the road to score first to try to quiet down that building. You got that 17-yard touchdown reception right out of the gate to make it 7-0. Take me through your touchdown.
Yeah, shoot. We were walking around on Saturday getting some food, and we walked past a couple of Lions fans. They said, oh, you'll win. They always lose. So it doesn't take quick for those fans to turn on their team, I guess. I know the 12s would never say something like that, but you know, we're just happy to get a win. I just, you know, got to shout out the O-line one more time. They played a heck of a game, getting Rashad on the ground and protecting Geno and putting points on the board. Shout out to those guys.
This team, ever since Russell Wilson was traded, has been counted out. For you guys to be 2-2, do you kind of sense a chip on your shoulder, this team trying to prove something this year to everyone that counted them out before the year started?
I mean, yeah, there's always a chip. You know, we being in Seattle, we're not talked about. We're all the way up there in the West Coast corner. Yeah, but we got our fans, they're loyal to us, and we know the work ethic we have in this locker room. You know, we got a coach that we believe in and a quarterback that we believe in, and we're going to go keep winning games.
What is it like playing for Coach Pete Carroll?
Shoot, it's the best, man. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I've been here for 5 years. He's an energetic guy, cares about you, wants you to be the best you, and, you know, there's not much more you can ask for in a coach.
It's weird to say it. Not that they believe in Pete Carroll. But this team also believes in Geno Smith. And he's the highest completion percentage in the NFL this season through 4 games. I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. And through the first 4 games in any NFL season, I think of minimum 125 passing attempts, he has the highest completion percentage in NFL history for the first 4 games of a season, which is wild. I don't think the Seahawks are going to win the division. But we had a poll question today off the Rams 49ers game last night. Who wins the NFC West? And all those teams in that division are 2-2. Here are the final poll calculations. 58% say the 49ers, 29% go with the Rams, 6.9% say the Seahawks, and 6.1% go with the Cardinals. I would order that still Rams 1, 49ers 2, Cardinals 3, and the Seahawks 4. But how about that story too? He's walking around the streets in Detroit and a fan just goes to him, my team's going to lose. You guys are going to win. Not like you had the 85 Bears, the early 2000 Ravens, the 07 Patriots in town. That's the Seattle team. So, I mean, those Lions fans either are just Debbie Downers and deservedly so, or they just know something about the Seahawks that we don't. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union. It proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their family. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. 49er stud defensive end Nick Bosa lived up to the hype coming up Monday night, sacking Matthew Stafford two times and recording two tackles for loss in San Francisco's 24-9 win over Los Angeles. As a whole, the 49ers defense sacked Stafford seven times and caused two turnovers, including a pick six. Give Nick Bosa stock up. Kevin Harlan on Westwood One calling the Deebo Samuel touchdown. Let's hear it.
Aaron Donald lining up at three technique. Next, the outside shoulder of Aaron Banks and the Kibitz's side. Jimmy throws. It is caught by Deebo Samuel. Breaks a tackle. 40. Deebo 35 30. 25 20. Breaks another tackle. 15 10. 5. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Greg Papa on the 49ers Radio Network. Give Deebo Samuel a stock up. Let's hear from Kevin Harlan, though. This is the play-by-play on the fan that was on the field last night. This courtesy of Westwood One.
And here comes a stoppage in play because someone has run on the field with a smoke bomb that is pink, and he's running up the sideline. Now a couple of Rams come over there and make the tackle. Head first into the player who has taken the field. And he's in a cloud of pink smoke, so you can't see him. And now on him are a couple of security guards.
Kevin, I think this is becoming a thing. We got the pink smoke coming again. This is one of those gender reveals. Somebody at home's having a girl. Now,
well, I thought maybe that the last one we saw was for some animal rights or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I just think, hey, you think about the way to reveal that you're having a girl. I'm going to run out on the field at the 49er game and get arrested just so I can let my honey at home know we're having a girl.
That guy is headed to the slammer, and it will not be a good night.
That guy is headed to the slammer, and it will not be a good night. What a job there by Kevin Harlan, and funny by Kurt Warner with the gender reveal. Stock up to both those two. Let's hear Albert Pujols last night hit career home run 703 and passes Babe Ruth for the second most RBIs in MLB history. Bally Sports Midwest.
Albert hits it down the left field line. Number 703. 703. It's history. RBIs number 2,215 and 16. He's passed Babe Ruth. Second all-time in history and runs batted in. A historic blast, number 703.
Let's play these two calls. Before we do that, though, give a stock up, obviously, and congratulations to Albert Pujols. We have the Phillies going back to the playoffs for the first time since 2011, and we talked about this yesterday, but we didn't get time to get to the audio. This is the Mariners going to the playoffs the first time in 21 years. Let's listen up back-to-back. You can play whatever order you want. Scott Fransky of the Phillies Radio Network, and then Dave Sims, courtesy of Seattle.
Dubon waiting on the 12th pitch, and here it is. Swung on, popped up, shallow center, coming on, Marsh on the run. And the Phillies, for the first time in 11 years, will head back to the postseason.
The pitch from Acevedo.
That's a great call by Dave Sims. So Phillies fans, congratulations. Mariners fans, congratulations as well. Two stock ups. Thank you very much. And a stock down. I thought we were maybe going to get Dak Prescott back this weekend. Then Jerry Jones revealed he still can't grip a football. So stock down to Dak not coming back to the Cowboys. And the Rams offense. He can't block. Stafford, when he does get some protection, throws interceptions, fumbles the football. Other than Cooper Kupp, they got nothing right now. I don't know what's happened to Allen Robinson. The Rams offense just stinks. Stock down. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I am off tomorrow because of the holiday. I will be back on Thursday. Andy Gresh will be filling in for yours truly tomorrow. And then on Thursday, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Hope everyone has a good one. I will chat to you on Thursday. Make sure you listen to Gresh tomorrow in this time slot. And a big thank you to Jim Kelly for joining us today. And then also, even though he's a Braves fan, and he's a punk Braves fan, but he's a tremendous college football reporter, I do appreciate Barrett Salee joining us on the Zach Gelb Show. All righty, boys and girls, children of all ages. I will talk to you on Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.